Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Reading of the research paper. Again, probably the fifth reading I've had. Hopefully it's improved each time I've gone through. This is just mainly for reviewers who are helping me out with it. And this time, mercifully, it's very still. There's no wind or anything else like that. Now, I've improved it, and it's sort of hard to think that hopefully I'm covering the thorny issue of education actually pumping utter rubbish at the end of the day. You know, you've got instructors there which you are getting ready to jump in and help you, but you've also got to cover the diplomatic issue that they're doing rubbish. So a lot of this will be the same. The last section I'm still working on. So hands-on IoT training device abstract, a Wi-Fi battery-powered sensor module for students. Student use is described. Diverse sensors simultaneously stream data. This supports active discovery of the connection between experimental variables. The functions of a commercial device that this model emulates are examined, and teaching strategies proffered. Introduction. We are currently developing a small transparent suitcase containing 14 sensors to provide students with a hands-on introductory experience. This box of electronics streams data to the internet, but unlike a person-centered device, there is no keyboard or screen. It is an example of a thing that is connected to the internet rather than a user-operated device. The situation where there is a lot of things sending data and receiving instructions has been dubbed the Internet of Things and has attracted the three-letter acronym TLA of IoT. When developed, students will lift the lid of the utility box UB to find live sensors that are continuously outputting to the web, to a website. Scanning a QR code on the box will open the linked site. Typically, the first question asked is, what's in the box? It is the subsequent questions that tease out a deeper understanding. This article aims to provide a resource for teachers to read over and perhaps check back on when answering those in-depth questions. What the utility box does. The UB is a working model of a sensor-to-cloud station you might expect to see in a factory or home that is five times larger in each linear dimension. But it is. The UB takes up 125 times the volume of units you might purchase online. Unlike the real thing, a student can pull out a sensor and put them on their experiments as they build them. They can explore systems by watching multiple variables change together. The ultimate aim is to instill confidence in the understanding and use of the real thing. Offering a comparative abundance of temperature, mass, and pH sensors ready to go in the construction of an experiment may make some concepts more accessible, robust, and less contrived. An example of a classic experiment reconfigured to access more concepts is acid-base neutralization. The student first speculates about which variables might or might not be important, then places sensors to see some show little or no effect, while others, as might be expected, vary together. The experiment is run to see what happens. The amount of acid added will be measured by an increase in mass of the mixture as a whole. The mixture, yeah. I say increasing mass, that might be it. The pH may have a rapid rise at first, plateau, then rise again. This behaviour of a buffer commonly found in systems that need a pH balance, require to maintain a pH balance. In variable conditions like your skin, stomach, or in reference solutions used to calibrate pH meters. Currently, with more sparse instrumentation, such phenomena are rarely touched upon. The simple addition of another latest and greatest equipment offering may have limited impact. Having an insightful teacher guide will dramatically improve the student's confidence and depth of understanding. To see how the UB compares to a commercial sensor module, we will get to know the inside of the latter. In doing so, provides a clear reference points with which to compare with the UB, but also to assess the latest technology that will have emerged since the writing of this guide article. I suppose it will have emerged in the time. Let's reread this. Doing so provides a clear reference point with which to compare a clear comparison. I've used the word compare too many times. To see how the UP compares with commercial sensor, the model will get to know the latter. I think I'll scrap on most of that sentence because it's redundant. Put a couple of question marks in there. It's amazing you're working and it's coming up here. What a real world utility box looks like. For real is the informal or colloquial way of describing the real world thing to which the model corresponds. It might be a toy car rolling down a ramp. Unlike a real world car, for which we can assume most people have detailed knowledge and hence requires no explanation, our two enabled sensors are less familiar. We will step through the many layers of ideas behind both UB and its real-world counterpart. In 2016, a US electronics manufacturer, Texas Instruments, released the CC2650 sensor tag, humidity, ambient and non-contact temperatures, microphone, light, pressure, nine-axis accelerometer. Values measured by the instruments aboard the sensor tag are streamed in real time to the user's website. The sensor tag is powered by a button cell battery, 1 year's lifetime, and comes in a 14x65mm package. The term tag refers to a smallish box of electronics that can communicate information. Many people have them have an e-tag fitted in their cars to pay tolls. Yeah, I think so. A TAL is the name for a device that is with a smaller footprint, that has a smaller footprint. Typically, 3x24x24mm. You might have a Bluetooth located TAL on your keys to find them using an app to find them. Using an app on your phone to find them, to find your lost keys. by using. Okay. It's amazing, this, you know, you get just the structure slowly begins to flow. Texas Instruments describes their sensor tag in the hands of a customer who's just unboxed it. Quote, connect to the cloud with Bluetooth Low Energy and get your sensor data online in 3 minutes. In this context of communication with an education audience, some of whom are not technical, we will unpack some of the technology and associated terminology. In this context of communication with an education audience. I think to communicate with. How sensors produce digital outputs. Sensors are purpose-built machines that respond to some physical property, temperature, humidity, pressure, sound, to some physical, etc. This response can be measured or, using less formal language, seen. For a bulb thermometer, the temperature can be read by looking at the level of mercury against a scale. Strictly speaking, you measure the thermometer's response and infer the temperature. I think in order to. And use this. And use this to infer the temperature, to measure a humidity, now I've got to give a thing. Now, I've got to give a pause the temperature. Now, I've got to actually tell them that I'm now giving explain. That's all I can think. So I've got to, unfortunately, I've got temperature, then I've introduced humidity, it's just a bit of a thing. So I've got to say, explain. For the example of humidity, should be that. Yeah, it must be excruciating, people, if you ever do listen me actually quiet things thinking. For the example of humidity, two thermometers are red, one with a dry bulb, the other with a wet one wrapped in a moist cloth. In dry conditions, the wet one is cooled by evaporation. Referring to a conversion table allows the humidity to be inferred from the difference in the wet-dry temperature. No difference means 100% humidity. If it was 100% humidity and 38 degrees, you'd find this uncomfortable as perspiration could not cool you down. Typically, you'd also eventually die. I think. I make this, you would eventually die. Yeah. To body temperature. You can't assume that people know too much. An electronic sensor, in an electronic sensor, the physical property that is to be measured impacts the condition of an electrical component that varies the current or potential difference across informal voltage. I think I'll just say voltage. Across. It's yeah, I don't have to say in a circuit then. For sensing temperature, a temperature dependent resistor might be used. Alternatively, using the phenomena of electrons moving to cooler end of wire away from a heated away from heat. I think there's a bit more. Ray from heat. Of a wire, a temperature sensitive battery called a thermocouple can produce a voltage related, a voltage that tracks the temperature. The size of the response depends on the condition. On the size of the effect. Physical property. Now you can see just how difficult it is to write these things. So measuring the size, size of response. Remember, so measuring the response, I think the size is okay, is a proxy for the condition. Let me see. The size of the response depends on the size of the physical property. So measuring measuring this size is a proxy for the physical property. And such a measurement, physical property. I have to do that. And such measurements of size is called analog. This corresponds, for instance, 0 degrees may generate 0 volts, and 50 degrees 0.3 volts, and 100 degrees 0.6 volts on an output wire that tells. I don't know if anyone's going to bloody weld to that. That's just one page, and I thought, yeah, that's over 30 questions. Tells us or signals in this case, the temperature. Tells us, I think tells us is that's redundant. Signals the, in this case, temperature. This wire This wire output wire is known as the signal wire. This output wire, I can't believe I'm making so many mistakes. A signal for which its size tells us how much is called an analog signal. I think I might do that. I might remove that thing. The size depends on the size of the thing. May I eliminate? Limit all that and say, for instance, so it'll take a major engineer. It will be much better when it's done. Okay, several steps have to be added before the sensor data spits out a string of zeros and ones that communicates the size of the signal digitally. Produces. Several steps have to be added so the sensor produces zeros or ones that communicate the size of the signal digitally. A sensor that puts out a digital signal, high or low voltage levels, or high voltage levels or light levels for an optical fiber, is called a digital sensor, e.g. a digital thermometer. A signal does not output directly numbers 0 and 1, but measurable outputs that are then interpreted as numbers 0 volts or 0 volts, and 1 for 3.3 volts or 5 volts, depending on the type of material used to make up the electronics. The conversion of an analog signal to a digital signal is called A to D. This is performed by an A to D chip. The precision of the chip is described by a number of bits. One bit A to D converting an analog signal of 0.635 volts in the range of 0 to 1 volts would read 1, telling you your signal was somewhere between 0.5 and 1 volts. The temperature sensor chip used in UB is 12 bits or 1 in part in 4096, and this is more or less typical. Okay. Better, just better expression. Typical of what? You know, this thing. Majority of, you know, this is a sort of a standard. I'll have to do this. Every chip has a unique factory set. Every chip has a unique factory set 64-bit serial identification number. So these sensors not only give us the temperature, but who is sending it. Okay, I'll name the chip. And so that every chip is the chip name. A sinister side of this may be that you are given a hairdryer, for example, consider the year 2015. At 2025, you might not know it is connected to the cloud, giving its sensor and serial number. I'll just say, for example, that's really not necessary. You might not know it's connected to the cloud, giving its sensor and serial number an IP address, giving broadcasting. You may need to move somewhere else, and you could be located when you dry your hair. The information in the above paragraph, I must admit, is just really badly written, but it's perhaps too complicated to communicate directly to a student. Directly is the word, directly. I can't believe there's so much working. The following story is an allegory of how the digital sensor works. This story is... Class 2 read. The Night Kittens, I can't believe I'm doing so much theme. The Night Kittens of Umbulu. The Grand Hotel is a splendid old building that stands on the banks of the Umbulu River. The river runs through the mighty Umbulu rainforest. This rainforest is home to the precious Umbulu Night Kitten. These kittens are very timid and only trust the Umbulu native tribe's people. One day, Unabato, the youngest child of a family of 13, heard a purring sound from deep within the jungle. When she was back home that evening with her family, she imitated the sound she had heard. And to her surprise, a kitten came into the hut and purred with her. Before long, the news spread out to the other 9 villages in the Umbulan rainforest, and the children, who could purr in just the right way, sometimes after hours of practice, began to have the night kittens visit them. There was a great joy and much talk of this wonderful happening. As the tribespeople met along the tracks and in the meadows, they would describe the wondrous events. Describe these wondrous events. Unato purred, her father said proudly. And a little night kitten came and purred with her in this, and slept on her lap. That's strange. Our kitten was only the size of a mouse. That's strange. Ours was so big it would hardly fit through the door. Let's go to the Grand Hotel by the river and get to the bottom of this. There were 10 tables of the in the grand ballroom of the hotel. On each table sat the kitten tamer from each village, while opposite them sat a ranger from the Save the Kittens International. They were going to find out the size of all 10 Umbulu kittens and send the information downriver. River transport was very slow in those days, and there were many rapids and sudden waterfalls. Instead, they were going to use the Umbulu drums that could be heard for miles and then relayed. Relayed by more by waiting drivers. But first they had to have a plan to report the size of each kitten the children had tamed. So this is what happened. On table number 1, the rangers had piles of poker chips that double for each pack. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and 128. The plan was to push the large pile forward, and if the child smiled, the kitten was larger than 128. Poker chips. If they frowned, the ranger would pull back the pile and push the 64 pile forward. it turned out that Tab 1's kitten was the size of 31 Pokechips. So the arrangement was 1, 2, 4, 16 and up, and 32, 64, 128 back, or using the up-down number code, the appropriate ones. They didn't just ask the kitten tamer, as they had, to make it into a drum beat. Initially, the ranger tapped the code without their feet. That was too quiet. Tapping the table, that was also too quiet. Finally, they used small gongs. That did the trick. A gong for one and tapping the hammer on the table for zero. There was one more thing to do to make sure they knew what table was reporting, so the drum outside the hotel would strike the number of times equal to the table number and then wait for the ranger to report. And then they would relay it up river. Here's how the drums sounded differently for the ones and zeros. A loud boom for one and a soft tap for zero. The drum outside the hotel went blah, 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 blah. They listened to her back. 1-1-1-0-0-0-1 gongs. That's 7 plus 128 plus equals 135 poker chips. That's a big kitten, are you sure? And they do it again. Let's try table 6. Listen, that's only 2. Finally, all the information came out and was sent down the Umbolo River. Finally, all the kitten sizes. Successful communication to students require a collaboration. Now, there's something I'm just not quite sure yet. I think we'll do. Successful communication to students requires a collaboration of disciplines, sometimes referred to as a transdisciplinary approach. While teachers may pass over opportunities to bring their ETAG or IoT products because the concepts are overly technical, engineers avoid imprecise language. I think on one hand, on the other. We're not balanced, it's me. On what? On one extreme, now just checking back here, yeah, I've got to do this a little bit more here, I think, to go in. Okay, some of the terms and how things are explained reflect expert user origins. Cameras, printers and peripherals often have a Twain file directory. Twain means toolbox without an interesting name, while URL means universal resource locator. The initial feedback from engineers is that there is tension between night kittens and poker chips. There is no foolproof formula for what is successful in education. There are examples of poker chips. Examples of a mixture: gingerbread house, samurai pizza cats, Sailor Moon, Cat Miraculous Ladybug, or the 1970s car that drive in space to form a robot in the original Voltron. While there is no formula, you will be told by a student audience if a particular combination is credible. Here, poker chips could suggest some sort of social danger or element of crisis just out of focus. Selection of the name utility box I think I'll see where I can put this pays homage to the utility belt worn by the fictional comic book hero Batman.
Okay.
A YouTube compilation of scenes from the 1960s children's television series shows amongst the gadgets a number that demonstrate detector's computer function and wireless capabilities. Like a Protoheart UB under development, teaching resources such as this will go through tuning additions, and subtractions, or just become a footnote that stimulated a much better idea. Thus, this lesson can be seen as a prototype. Further, teachers can read it as a schematic level, much as a circuit diagram. Can read and think through it. Okay. A small number of students will be interested in steps to turn analog sensor to turn an analog sensor into a digital sensor. One, something happens, an environmental factor changes the electrical property of a device or component. Two, voltage changes, electricity is provided to create a potential difference, signal volts, on an output signal wire. Signal snapshot. Three, signal snapshot. A signal is put into a circuit that mirrors the signal the signal is monitored. That mirrors the input. The signal is put. The is input to a circuit that mirrors that tracks it. The signal is put into a circuit that tracks it. In sample mode. You have two modes, but freezes when set to hold mode. Freezes it. It's so hard to get it. It is called a sample and hold, SH, and provides a steady snapshot of the signal for the other circuits in the ATD to work. To go to work on. Or to work on. Let's cross that out. It is equivalent to think of a number, now remember it, and we will guess it. Digital approximator. Another circuit goes to work guessing the SH level with a succession of more precise approximations. The component that stores the evolving estimate is called the successive approximation register, SAR. Register is the electronics in electronics means memory that is written during the writing phase and later read. Think of a register as a piece of paper on which key information is written, like a shopping list or homework. We will walk through the key steps using... let's walk through key steps. Using a shopping list as an example. Writing is like going through the cupboards, the writing step. Is like going through the cupboards at home and jotting down what is needed. My daughter's coming home now. Reading the list is done when the shop assistant asks, "What would you like?" And finally, erasing or rubbing is rubbing out the list so you can write it again. Is hello, Rachel, and was it fun? Was it scary? Do you believe they were real animals? Do you want to drive home, Rachel?
No, I'll just walk.
You sure?
Oh.
Okay, sorry. That's just my kids coming home. Have to look it up. I just went out to see the Lion King. Okay. Beginning with the erase step, all switches are set to off. Okay. In the SAR, the writing is recorded in switches that are toggled on and off. Beginning with the erase step, all are set to off. Comma there. The SAR goes through a rapid cycle of internal writing to each switch in succession. On each occasion, all switches are read at once and converted at once in parallel. And converted to the voltage level represented by the gas. This creation of an analog, the generation of an analog signal from a digital instruction is performed by a group of electronics components called a circuit. Called an analog digital converter, a DAC. Comparing the DAC with the SH tells his SAR to keep the latest edition if it hasn't overshot the target voltage from the SH. This process runs until the SAR has finished and changes from approximating busy state to a completed state. Reporting approximation. The SAR receives a write to output command and reads the register bits one at a time in sequence, setting the data line high or low, but typically 50 millionths of a second. The result is a pulse train of zeros and ones for synchronism. Most requires a clock signals. Convert that clock. Synchronizes the process. Reset. The SAR is erased and the signal sampled. Additional detail describes the comparator as a high gain voltage difference. Additional deeper detail describes. Additional deeper detail describes the comparator. That's wrong. Just cross that. Deeper detail includes, I think it would include, I've got to say it's deeper detail. The comparators are, as a high gain voltage difference amplifier that amplifies negative input difference to a large negative value, but is clipped. That is, clipped to 0 volts, and similarly, a positive difference is amplified to a large positive value that is also is clipped by the electronics to the potential difference. Now, further, calibration. So much work involved in it. So we'll get through there. It just, I mean, it is paying off overall because it's changing the readability of it. Here's a break. Here's the diagram, which is good because you finally go through that and you suddenly can read the circuit diagram. In 1987, I was helping in a clean out of the Adelaide University Physics Laboratories. It was decided that a particular valve-based analog-to-digital converter built in the early 1970s was no longer useful. It was the size of a travel suitcase. Having had experience, this experience gives a nowadays rare perspective see the impact of making Now, that doesn't make sense. It gives nowadays rare perspective on the impact of making A to D's 10,000 times smaller that can even fit inside sensors. So small, they can fit inside sensors. Rather than throwing out this experience, rather than discarding this experience. It may be one day possible for students to go on a virtual reality tour of the inside of an ADC. The key teaching points here is the problem with analog signals as the problem with is the limitation as they degrade by noise and grow weaker over distance and obstacles. They are prone to echoes from such things as seemingly insignificant as a fingerprint on a plug. Teachers who are old enough will remember ghosting in the images of the old televisions when a plane flew between them and the broadcast antenna. Small signal levels over any distance require boosting termed pre-amplification before being sent. Digitals take only many snapshots at a sufficient rate to make a movie, and these snapshots are spelt out SNAP shot, one letter or zero, one bit at a time. Unlike reading analog signals, there is only a binary decision. Only a binary decision has to be made. Is it one or not? Question mark. I can't believe I'm making so many errors. It is necessarily a more involved process up front, as it takes requires. Takes a sequence of steps, not unwatching, watching Fred Astaire do a tap dance. Imagining the time, considering the time. The ADD process took, when in 1987 it was explained to me that that it would one day be done so quickly as to digitise the human voice. 100,000 hertz at high pitch means 100,000 fictitious digitised points a second. I could have been forgiven for saying it would be 100 years before Joe Fictitious would call up his mates on telecom on a telecom phone, and it would all be live. It would all be live digitization. I think you could say two things. One, I was wrong by a factor of 10 in my time estimate, and two, some of the conversations in 1987 were incredibly boring. Now here we hit defunct concept crisis, so this is new stuff. The technical dimension of the UB development is being guided through a series of stages. The concept prototype establishes proof of principle. The research prototype is for testing and optimization of subsystems. The final stage is the production prototype, where issues of manufacture are resolved. There is a general... I can't believe this. Understanding prototypes in many fields, but the types and names vary depending on the industry and the requirements. The logic is that once you know it works, you build something with extra knobs to test it through a range of operation and different configurations. When you have the best compromise, you field certify what has been produced. The principles of project management that look at the critical path allow time allocation for activities such as doing in-depth studies and developing research papers. Windows, I think. Within the research prototype phase, to develop a particular multi-step process, there is an idea entry implementation for which each step can be debugged. I'll do that. With the entry implementation, working at each step is advanced to an application implementation one step at a time. So I say two levels, I don't know, I'll try and get this, I know what I'm saying here. With the UB performance used as used credential the steps. So it's, I know what I'm trying to say here, it's really badly put. The unit is then monitored over days and weeks to pick out performance glitches. The very lowest cost thermocouples rusted, while the analog lines in the load cells, the digitizers, showed electrical noise spikes, one in 24 hours. So I've got to really re-engineer that whole area. Besides the internal development part, there is an external development of sister projects. And these also made in clear box for a classroom with the base Arduino controllers operating components. This allowed the systems to be developed, tested and transferred across the UB research prototype. I've got to really, really work on that. So this is essentially what you do is you say, I want to do something. What is the safest, basest way of doing it? So you do it the safe way. And then you do it the advanced way. You don't go the advanced first off. You do the safe way. You get it working so it can feed back. And then you do it here. So I think I might try and do that slightly differently. Now, a box consisting of components from a research phase and tested to failure components from the production phase still have some but not all the original function left, was assembled in a clear box. That's awful. It contained a small bath duck made to dance when a capacitive switch is activated. Children suggested music and lights, while parents explained how the components, what the components did. This was as significant as it showed the potential of a simplified training box to introduce the UB. That's awful. So this is going to take so much engineering to get this done. While the prototype journey drives the physical development dimension, there is a customer side engineering. Will the instructors have sufficient depth of knowledge for the UB to be effectively used? There are studies of development discipline, e.g. medical researchers handing over to an operating operating a transdisciplinary team with a practice discipline, e.g. doctors. The term used to capture this is a knowledge translation, KT, to bridge a gap between what is known and what is currently done in practice settings. Although it is intended that that for students, the UB will help experiments speak for themselves, the UB itself requires skilled intermediaries. The knowledge presented here is framed in lessons and narratives that is less concise than is found in an engineering communication. Well, that's right, that's for sure. It's a whole lot less concise. They don't even bother because they're assumed. Assume the last. The prequels, you know. It's a sequel. Additional. Okay, translation between languages faces challenges when there's not a word for that, or that concept is somehow different from my/your culture. This is very much the case between the 19th century based education culture and the electronics culture that has been reaping the benefits of quantum mechanics and producing artifacts that would confound the 19th century scientists and, unfortunately, our modern students alike. For the UB, this is the defunct concept crisis. Okay, I'm going to stop now, and there's more than enough work to really go. So I've gone. I'm surprised I've still got so many corrections to go through, so I'll keep on just hammering away at this.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.